Today's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, I was told to keep it short today, so I chose one verse. Aren't you lucky? So we all live by guiding principles. We all have these distilled sayings or pieces of truth that we hang on to that get into the operating system of our lives. And if we didn't, life would be pretty hard because we live in a world of so many opinions and competing narratives and different ideas. And we need something that is certain and sure to hang on to. And we all have these types of truths in our hearts and minds. For example, maybe you say, one day at a time. Maybe that's your mantra. Maybe your mom told you it never hurts to be kind, and you've kept that in your heart your whole life. Meg's mom likes to say, it is what it is. And these truths are kind of like portable wisdom that we can take with us wherever we go. They're also shareable. So if you've ever worked with Michael Chance, likely you've heard him say something like, if you see a need, meet a need. Because that's his mantra at work. If you've worked with Heather Digby at church or anything else, you've heard her say, I need some time to sift these ideas, which she got from her dad, Mike. You see, we all have these things that get down into our hearts that guide us as we live. Well, in this one verse today, the Apostle Paul is giving his son in the faith, Timothy, a young pastor, this same kind of a saying, of a boiled down piece of wisdom that he can hang on to no matter what. When all else is uncertain, Timothy, cling to this. Teach this to others. No matter what happens, remember this. He says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Excuse me. And it just so happens that this one verse is all about the message of Christmas, which is why I share it today. We need, actually, this clarity about Christmas because Christmas has become such a jumble of different things. Hasn't it? You've got Santa and Rudolph and the reindeer. You've got trees and presents and elves on shelves for some reason. You've got jingle bells and snowmen and Snoopy and Mariah Carey and Macaulay Culkin. And somewhere in there is Jesus. And it's all called Christmas, right? But what if we could boil down Christmas to its essence, to the one to one sentence. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a trustworthy saying. These nine words contain a universe of truth. And today I just want to crack that open a little bit through two words in this sentence. Came and save. Came and save. Number one. Jesus came. Jesus came. Why does this matter? The Bible teaches us that the transcendent Creator God, the all-powerful God who made the universe, actually came into the world that He created. Jesus is God made flesh for us, the incarnation. The author Philip Yancey shares the kind of astonishment that this should make us feel. He writes, I pause and wonder at the mystery of the incarnation. In an act of humility beyond comprehension, the God of a trillion galaxies chose to condescend, to descend to be with the benighted humans on this one rebellious planet out of billions in the universe. I falter at analogies, but it is akin to a human becoming an ant, perhaps, or an amoeba, or even a bacterium. Yet according to Paul, that act of condescension proved to be a rescue mission that led to the healing of something broken in the universe. It's a long quote, but you see what he's saying. God came in Jesus. Jesus came. This is what makes the message of Christianity utterly unique in the world. God did not drop down a ladder for us and say, come up if you can. He didn't send down a pamphlet on what to do to be accepted by him. He came into the world. And I'm going to raise this up. There we go. As a pastor, I often have the privilege of showing up at times in people's lives at the hospital or at the home in a time of crisis or just for a visit. And so often I hear these words, thank you for coming. Like in this world where it's so easy just to send a text or to call or to do a drive-by, when you show up, it sends a message that you care. You came. Thank you for coming. And in a much greater way, that's how we relate to God. Jesus came to be with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Hang on to that truth, friends. Jesus came. He came into this world. He came into your life. He came into a humble, as the play said so well, he didn't come to a palace. He came into the real world for us. Number two, why did Jesus come? To save. Jesus came to save. I suppose that, well, what would you expect God to do if he came into the world where the people he created were in rebellion against him? Would he judge or destroy? Jesus didn't do that. Would he just teach? Well, Jesus did his fair share of teaching, but that's not the main reason he came. He could have come to set up a government, which in a way he did in the kingdom of God, but that's not the main reason he came. He came to save. He came to save. It's been said, you've probably heard this, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent a savior. Jesus came into this world on a rescue mission. He said it himself many times. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save. And how did he save? Friends, it's all tied up with God becoming flesh for us. One of the great defenders of the faith in the early church, Irenaeus, born in modern-day Turkey, in about 130 AD, developed his own trustworthy sayings in a world of competing ideas. And they've stood the test of time. One of them is this. Jesus Christ, in his infinite love, has become what we are in order that he may make us entirely what he is. He became what we are to make us what he is. That is salvation. You see, Jesus saved us by first taking on our full humanity. He came as close as he could get. He took on a real human body, a real human life, fully man as he was fully God. And with that perfect life, he offered himself to the Father to pay for our sins, to save us. And then he rose from the grave to conquer death itself. So in the words of John 3:16, everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When we trust in Jesus, there's this exchange. He takes our death, our condemnation, and gives us his life. Recently, I heard a pastor named T.J. Timms use this illustration from the HBO series Band of Brothers. Has anyone seen that? This is a series based on the real lives and stories of men who served in World War II in the 101st Airborne Division in the Army. And at one point in the show, a character named Captain Winters is presenting the Presidential Citation Medal to the 101st for their heroism in the defense of a French town called Bastogne. He's awarding this medal to the whole unit, even those who weren't there when the battle happened. And here's what he says. As a part of this division, you were a part of that history. You will always be a part of it, whether you were here at that time or not. That's how we relate to Jesus. His awards and achievements are counted as ours, even though we weren't there. We didn't do what he did. We can't do what he did. And yet, through faith, his accomplishments transfer to us. Friends, this is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, finally, some of you may have a complicated relationship with that word, sinner. Maybe it's a bad association. Maybe someone has used that word to condemn you or judge you. But here's the deal. For Paul, this is simply a diagnosis of the condition of all humanity, that we have the propensity to screw things up in ourselves, in our relationships, in the world. That's what it means to be a sinner. And so all of us are sinners. It's not some special category for the, you know, really bad apples like the Grinch or Ebenezer Scrooge. It's all of us. In fact, Paul himself, the man who wrote half of the New Testament, who lived an amazing life, was able to say, I'm the worst. You want to know who the worst sinner is? You want to know who I'm most surprised that God could save? It's me. Sure, Paul did some terrible stuff before he came to Christ. And yet, this is the attitude of anyone who has genuinely encountered the message of Christmas. God, you would save me? Not looking down your nose at other people and saying, I'm so much better than them. Not wallowing in self-condemnation. I'm such a terrible person. No one could ever forgive me. God, you forgave me. I'm amazed. That's the mark of internalizing this message. If anyone needs saving, it's me. And I have a Savior who came to rescue me. The message of Christmas is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you and me. This truth is trustworthy and deserving of our full acceptance. Have you accepted it? Maybe you're considering it, which is great. Consider more. If you have accepted it, has it gotten down into your bones? Is it at the deepest levels of your being? Something that you cling to no matter what happens? Does it define who you are, how you see yourself, how you see the world? When that happens, as that happens, this message creates people filled with hope, with peace, with joy, and with love. Amen.